Blog Talk Radio.
Have an even better week to follow. Hey, Pam. Hey, Naomi.
Hello, hello.
Hi, Naomi. Good to hear
you.
Hi.
Hesitation is what I start thinking I'm talking to nobody. You got to stop doing that to me. It made me nervous.
Ah, we're here.
How are you?
We're here.
I'm telling you. I'm telling
good,
you.
Good. Tired from all the traveling over the holidays a little, but getting there, getting there.
I hear you.
Taking long afternoon naps.
Those are always nice.
I hear you, ladies. Long naps. Evening naps, morning naps. I'm good.
Oh, yeah.
All of them.
Yeah. And you guys, how was your Christmas?
It was good. Simple and good.
Yeah, same here. How was yours, Naomi?
Great. Yeah, well, I went down to my son's place, and we had a little family reunion, and with the kids, it was fun. The babies, always fun. And we're gonna get together again around right after New Year's Eve. I have an even longer trip. I'm going all the way down to the Gaspé, that's even farther, to see my folks. And we rented a cottage down there, so all the kids and me are going to get together and with grandma and grandpa, my parents, and with all the kids. And then we'll be all the gang, because at Christmas time we're missing some because they were with their families, with their spouses. Family, so.
Right. Yeah, that sounds like a good time to me. Nice trips lined up for you. Not me. I'm
going to
be right here. Right here. In my own
Hoping there's no snowstorms, because we had a bad snowstorm there. So we had to, drive a bit in the snowstorm, but, we got there.
Wow.
It had calmed down by the time we left a bit, but we still got it a bit going and then a bit coming back too. So, it's always Mother Nature and winter, so you never know.
Absolutely. Well, that sounds like a good plan to me, to hope there's no snow and go for a nice trip and enjoy family for a while. Pam, what are you up to? You're awful quiet.
I just really have nothing to say.
Wow. Everybody heard that? Come on now. We know better. So tell us about the contest for tonight, Pam.
Oh, well, tonight's contest is very simple. I decided to run a pre-writes contest asking people to share with us poetry that fit with the theme of reminiscing being indulging in memories of pleasant times and places. So, because the thing is I knew it would be so busy people are so busy during the holidays that to have a show only 2 days after Christmas, I thought, let's go with something simple, we got a lot of great responses, a nice full board, as I like to say, quality and quantity.
Nice. Okay, well, board is yours, Pam. I'm going to sit down and shut up for a while.
Not too long, because you're going to be commenting and reading.
Oh, God. Okay.
All right. First of all, we are going to start with a classic poem that fits really nicely with tonight's theme. And this is A Reminisce by Anne Bronte. And it goes like this. Yes, thou art gone, and nevermore thy sunny smile shall gladden me. But I may pass the old church door and pace the floor that covers thee, may stand upon the cold, damp stone and think that frozen lies below the lightest heart that I have known, the kindest I shall ever know. Yet though I cannot see thee more, 'tis still a comfort to have seen. And though thy transient life is o'er, 'tis sweet to think that thou hast been, to think a soul so near divine, within a form so angel fair, united to a heart like thine, has gladdened once our humble sphere. End poem. And it's pretty obvious that I chose that because of the title when I searched classic poems, but I do have to admit that the Bronte sisters, Anne Bronte, Charlotte Bronte, are some of my favorites. So I was glad to see this poem by Anne Bronte. And, you know, the rhyme and flow, the classic use of language, how it pays tribute to a person who has passed, but that they have fond memories of. And I like that it doesn't name that it's a specific person, whether it's a relative or a friend, but it's a very, like, I think it's one of those poems that anybody can relate to. My only worry about reading this one is that it actually does bring tears to my eyes. Like earlier today, I was reading it and crying because it really is that moving of a poem, you know.
Right.
So absolutely. But yeah, wonderful classic poem. And Naomi, your thoughts on this classic poem?
I just love the Bronte sisters. You know, they bring me back so many memories of reading their books, you know, when I was a teenager up in my room and, you know, just, you know, though they were, it's my favorite. But, yeah, this is, you know, a heartfelt poem indeed, a lot of emotion. And, you know, I was just reading beside, there's, you know, part of her biography there, and it's says that her mother died when she was a year old, and when the two oldest siblings died of consumption, Anne was really young, so she lost her mother, two siblings. Wow. So you know, this could be about many people in her life that she lost when she was young. So, yeah, very moving poem indeed. Great choice for tonight, Pam.
Absolutely. Thank you. Great comment. And your thoughts on this classic poem, Jean?
Well, my first thought is if you get choked up on me again, I'm going to kick you under the table. Just so you know. Right. I'll kick you right out of that. And it was a beautiful poem. It really was. Written to someone, obviously, that was lost, and that she thought highly of, you know. United to a heart like thine has gladdened once our humble sphere. You know, just that the fact that they ever walked this earth and, you know, lit their space was a lot, you know, from what this reads. And I think that's pretty wonderful, you know. I mean, we all have someone that we've thought highly of or had great regard for. So, and to lose them, it makes it really, you know, it's a hard thing to deal with. I have to say. So, great choice, Pam. Very nicely done. Good one.
Thank you. And wonderful comment. All right. And up next, we have Beyond Quantum Peculiarity by Forgotten Dream. And Naomi, will you give that a read for us, please?
Of course. Beyond Quantum Peculiarity by Forgotten Dream. I can travel in time. Today, I'm 39, trapped indoors from a worldwide pandemic. Sorting through old memories and tracing fingers over faded letters. I'm also 16, petrified, solitary, and beginning to fall in love. Back to now, studying stagnant pictures of your smiling visage. My chest surrounds an interior storm churning, curious when you've forgotten me. I'm also 18, staring forcefully into chocolate eyes, desperate to memorize all of you in every language. When these two timelines collide, it's like my 18-year-old heart is still there, breaking. Then, and 20 years later, end poem.
Wonderful read there, Naomi, and such a beautiful write by Forgotten Dream. And your thoughts, Jean?
It was beautifully written, definitely. And I like how the reminiscence falls into this. I believe so. I'm also 16, petrified, solitary, and beginning to fall in love. Back to now, studying stagnant pictures of your smiling visage. My chest surrounds an interior storm. Curious when you forgot me. You know, and I love that, the last line, then and 20 years later. It leads into the 18, and I don't know. I think that she really did a nice job with this, with the timeline and the emotion. So, well done, Forgotten Dream.
Absolutely, and yes, I have to agree with you. That was a beautiful ending line, and the way she put the emotion into this worked really well. So, great comment. And Naomi, you did a beautiful read of that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, this is an amazing write, you know, by Forgotten Dream. I love, you know, like Phil said, how she poured emotion into this piece. You just feel it. And, it's something about back to now, studying stagnant pictures of your smiling visage, my chest surrounds an interior storm churning, curious when you forgot me. There's just something about that, I'm desperate, looking, staring forcefully into chocolate eyes, desperate to memorize all of you in every language. There's just something that draws you into this piece, you know, so beautifully written and, brings out all the emotion in the piece, that you really feel it. So amazing write by Forgotten Dreams.
Oh, absolutely. Great comment. Yeah, this has a wonderful emotive impact. And I like how the title fits really well with the concept of using the mind to time travel. A wonderful opening line. I can travel in time. Today I'm 39, trapped indoors from a world pandemic. I'm also 16, petrified, solitary, and beginning to fall in love. You know, there's something so captivating about this. And I like how she delves into the idea of traveling back and forth through time in your mind and to those points of your life that really meant so much to you, because not only were they beautiful when they were happening, but they really were an impactful part of your life. So wonderful write and very well done. All right, let's see what we got next. And let's see here. We have It's Always Been You by Cedar Chapman. And Jean, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
I will give it a whirl. Look at Cedar Chapman. You've never heard your poetry read like this before. It's Always Been You by Cedar Chapman. How could I have known I was born broken? That photosynthesizing sunlight and growing deep roots in fertile soil just isn't enough. I long to walk, to soar, to be wanted, to feel the ocean air and smell the salty sea, to have the spring breeze tantalize my skin, sending shivers and quivers down my thighs. There wasn't any recipe book, but I should have known from the day you walked into English class in your baby blue Daniel Hector sweater, ankle crop jeans and white canvas kids. No socks, of course. I was but a small fry in a large fishbowl of pimples and hormones, a boy flexing his fins trying to swim upstream with teenage men, hoping you would notice a baby-faced halfling. Difficult to fathom why you didn't jump on a five-foot, 100-pound frame, a flayed ceiling carried by the wind, nurturing an involuntary 10-year friend's plan to whistle you down and woo you with each midnight to sunrise phone call. We were walking along the shoreline, hands locked, gulls crooning, foamy waves caressing flattened sand. You saw me play beach volleyball, years spent studying Arnold Schwarzenegger's Modern Encyclopedia of Bodybuilding, no longer half the boy, yet half a man, incomplete, until that eventful New Year's Eve, when I pushed our entire friendship to the center of the poker table and kissed you. So here we are, three kids later, approaching freedom, 55. I'm sleeping in wool socks, wearing a toque, while you're half naked in your granny's, star-shaped, frost crystallizing on an open bedroom window. Gravity is cruel to our bodies. Your eyes sag, uncertain. Even when knowing I am broken without you, it's always been you. I still shiver and quiver every night, perhaps with my sheepish, boyish grin. Tonight you'll reach for my thigh, and I'll smell the salty sea air again. End poem. Nice.
Great read there, Jean. It's funny. I just looked at the AN and realized it says, this poem was read by Phil on Open Poetry on November 5th. So I understand if you admit it, it's reading on the December 27th reminiscing show. And, of course, I wouldn't have omitted it because it's a beautiful poem worth hearing again. And I didn't get to hear it on the November 5th show, so, you know. But I just think it's funny that I hadn't noticed that before. And, of course, who do I assign it to? Good old
me.
Phil. Yeah.
Good old Phil.
Well, now you have plenty of practice reading that poem.
Absolutely.
But,
oh, my
wonderful
gosh. Wonderful.
Yeah, this is just absolutely beautiful. Wonderful imagery throughout. And Naomi.
I remember this poem. So beautiful. I think this is one of my favorite ones by Cedar Chapman. I was but a small fry in a large fishbowl of pimples and hormones. trying to swim upstream with teenage men, hoping you would notice a baby-faced halfling. And, you know, the way then what comes, you know, how they formed the 10-year friend plan, so awesome. And then, the way when he finally decides to kiss her there. And, and the ending is just, so loving and tender. The way they came together, they're still together today. And, you can tell he still loves her deeply. And, the way he finishes it out too, tonight you'll reach for my thigh and I'll smell that salty sea air again. Just such a tender. And like you said, Pam, amazing imagery and detail in throughout this poem that makes it so much more also. But just so tender and loving a poem. So bravo, Cedar.
Really, absolutely great comment, Naomi, and your thoughts, Jean.
Wow. Well, I got to say, I thought this was just wonderful. I thought it was wonderful the first time. So many great lines throughout the whole piece. Last time around, I quoted the gravity is cruel to our bodies. Your eyes sag uncertain, even when knowing I am broken without you. I love that. But, as I was reading this tonight, I kind of went, wow, okay, where is it? This stanza here. You saw me play beach volleyball, years spent studying Arnold Schwarzenegger's Modern Encyclopedia of Bodybuilding. No longer half the boy, yet half the man, incomplete, until that eventful New Year's Eve, when I pushed our entire friendship to the center of the poker table and kissed you. I thought that was such a neat way to put that, just all in. Let's go all in here and see what happens. So I love that too. But there's nothing in this poem that I could grab any one of these stanzas and be just as satisfied to comment, and I think that it was just really well done. I'm kind of partial to Cedar's poetry. I think he does wonderful work, and he always has something that kind of sets off your emotions in one way or another. So, and that I love. That's always my favorite kind of poetry, no matter who writes. And excellent work, Cedar, and thank you so much. Excellent.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well said there. Yeah, I think this is a beautiful write all the way through. Strong emotional impact. As I said, wonderful imagery. I like that it tells the story of a relationship that grows and about two people who change and grow, not only physically, but, mentally and emotionally, and their relationship changes. And, yeah, there's definitely great lines all the way through. But I like how this becomes about that mature relationship, so here we are, three kids later, approaching freedom 55. I'm sleeping in wool socks, wearing a toque, while you're half naked in your granny's star-shaped frost crystallizing on an open bedroom window. There's not only lines that are really deep in their presentation of what it means to grow together, but there's also that great humor, like that stanza that Naomi pointed out. I was a small fry in a large fishbowl of pimples and hormones. And I think there's so many of us that can relate to that. So just a wonderful write and beautifully written and very well done. All right. And let's see what we got next. Yeah, I don't know why it just turned out this way, but we actually have, I think, more guys wrote for this contest than women, which is fine. I was a little surprised because I figured, that the theme of reminiscing would be something more that women would gravitate towards. But you know what? Like I said, we got good quality here, so I'm not complaining. I'm glad that we have people inspired to throw things in. So, all right. And now we have, yep, And Now She's Gone by Old Codger. And it goes like this. And now she's gone. I'm thinking back to when our hearts would beat in bliss and beat as one. We swore eternal love and swore again the knot we tied would never be undone. And now she's gone. I'm thinking of the times we dream and dance and dawdle hand in hand. She'd laugh at all my jokes and silly rhymes and smile at how my sonnets rarely scanned. And now she's gone. She left me for a bloke who's half her age and twice as dumb as me. I wish him luck. He'll find that life's no joke. With her, he'll soon be dumped for number three. And now she's gone. Oh, God, I'm glad she's gone. I've parked her in the past, and I've moved on. End poem. And that certainly had a twist at the end. A bit of a biting humor there that I enjoyed. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, he put it in his end, jealousy and irony, and you feel that. I think that's the bite you feel. And now she's gone. I'm glad she's gone. Really? But, just like, I wish him luck. He'll find that life's no joke with her. He'll soon be dumped for number three. Yeah. A kind of little bit of a bite there. But, awesome rhythm and rhyme throughout this. And, you're not expecting that ending, because, I thought, this was somebody that he'd loved
yearly. And, you know, she passed away or something. But when you get to the end, it's like, oh, wow. Almost kind of like I took it like kind of funny in a way, the way he bites back there at the end. But an awesome, awesome read. And happy that, he's moved on.
Exactly. Yeah, I know. I've had the same thoughts when I first read this earlier this evening. You know, because it does, between the title and the repetitiveness of "and now she's gone" for the first like couple of stanzas, you really feel like that this is a loss because of death. And then you get to that line, "and now she's gone, she left me for a bloke who's half her age and twice as dumb as me." Definitely excellent comment there, Naomi. And Jean, your thoughts?
Well, I have to agree with both of you. You know, in the beginning, the first two stanzas, you feel like he lost her to some kind of a tragedy or just whatever, death or you know, whatever happened, right? I mean, it's kind of seeming sad. And then you get to that third stanza, boy, it just tells it like it is. And those last two lines, yeah. Yep, he put it all together nicely. And there's what, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 lines. Not bad. Not too bad. You know, the lead-in was great, and the way he exited his poem was very well done. So nice.
Oh, book. Absolutely. Yeah, it is a good humor poem. You know, a good setup for the first couple of stanzas. Beautifully written sonnet, nice rhyme and flow, you know. And, I did enjoy this all the way through, and the way that he put a twist at the end, so... Excellent write and very well done. All right. And let's see what we have next. There we go. All right. Up next, we have "A Mystical Night in New Hope" by Bluesman. And Naomi, will you give that a read for us, please?
Okay. "It was my artist's town, along river wide, in a basement apartment one night. I went on a magical journey into dancing fireplace light. In shadow streaked silver-flocked walls, night slept onto flickering flames, broad swords drawn, glowing in blue. In mid-air, they penned out their names. 9 cats shared this eve with me, caught up in such energy's flow, leaping from bookshelf and table amidst the magical mushroom glow. As night waned, with day's approach, flaming embers gone forward toward fade, never forgetting this euphoric vision when knights and kitty cats played." End poem.
Great read there, Naomi. Yeah, I enjoyed this write. You know, it's got wonderful imagery. It's got great rhyme. It definitely got that whole doing shrooms vibe. Can you imagine getting high on shrooms with 9 cats running around? I feel like every time a cat jumped in front of you, you'd be like, "Whoa, dude," or whatever these people do.
I wonder if it made the smell more wonderful.
Yeah,
nine cats.
Oh man. Yeah, they'll have to take at least 3 litter boxes to have 9 cats. But, you know, this is a delight to read all the way through. It's got a playfulness to it. And, you know, I do enjoy the imagery all the way through. But I do have to say that the second to last stanza is my favorite. Nine cats shared this eve with me, caught up in such energy's flow, leaping from bookshelf, then table, amidst a magical mushroom glow. I like the alliteration in amidst a magical mushroom glow. That's really nicely done. So wonderful, right? And Naomi, you did a beautiful read of that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, he does have, you know, alliteration throughout this. You know, he has it in shadow streak, silver flocked walls, also the S sound there, which really is beautiful. And knights leapt into flickering flames, broadswords drawn, glowing in blue, in midair they penned out their names. And I imagine, you know, the shadows of the cats against the wall could, you know, if you're you're up high on magic mushrooms, you could imagine that as, you know, knights, you know, the shadowy figures of knights flashing across the walls there, you know, as the cats leap to and forth. Nine cats, wow. Still, but I really like the last line there, never forgetting this euphoric vision when knights and kitty cats played. That there's something just so whimsical and so cool about that, knights and kitty cats. I love that finishing line, but just a wonderful ride all through.
Oh, absolutely, great comment. And are you back with us, Dean?
I am, but I just got here. I did not get to read that poem. And I apologize for having to step out like I did.
All right. Well, no problem. All right. And then I will go ahead and put up the next write, which is 73 by Gary Adcock. And go ahead, Jean, and give that a read for us, please.
Okay. Let me get there. Let me hit the magic refresh button. What is this? Oh, my God. Okay, here we go. 73 by Gary Adcock. To the class of 73, I'd like to raise a toast. Coolest kids there ever were, forgive me if I boast. Roamed the halls with energy, looked forward to each day. Shared our dreams, had each other's backs along the way. Awesome music of our time, second we all know to none. Cruising at night, music loud, certainly an idea of fun. Friday nights, the big game played, town would all be mute. Would all unite. Felt the excitement in the air, played with all our might. Cheerleaders on the sidelines helped to keep the spirit high. Roaring crowd cheering us on still brings a tear to my eye. When the game came to an end, we headed for the dance. Records spinning through the night, air filled with young romance. Teachers tried their very best to prepare for what lay ahead. Oh, the papers that were written, lessons that were read. Nonetheless, we stuck it out as the team we made it through. Wouldn't trade it for the world. Each day was something new. So to the class of 73 who played a role in life along the way, I would like to give a shout to those great classmates of yesterday. Greatest kids that ever walked through that high school door. Imagine the teacher's disappointment with the class of 74. And so on.
Great. Yeah, I really enjoyed this one. You know, it kind of made me think of like those, as if you were watching a movie like Fast Times at Ridgemont High or, you know, one of those other movies that have to do with high school. And I can't help but wonder if he wrote this for a class reunion that he attended. And if he didn't and he attends any class reunions of his, he should definitely bring this. So my guess is he probably did, You know, because it has that feel to it. It has that vibe. And I like how it pays tribute to not only that time period of high school, but the friends and the connections that you make in that time. Wonderful humor at the end. You know, imagine the teacher's disappointment with the class of 74. You know, I really thought this was just fun, a wonderful tribute. One of my other favorite parts, though, was the awesome music of our time. Second, we all know to none, cruising at night, music loud, certainly our idea of fun. You know, when it comes to reminiscing, when it comes to nostalgia, there is something about music that I think has the biggest impact on what memories mean the most to us. So wonderful, right, and very well done. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, this made me think, you know, the lines, Friday nights, the big game played, town would all unite, felt the excitement in the air, played with all our might. Made me think of the series. I don't know if you saw it, Friday Night Lights.
I've heard of it. I never watched it, but I know what you're talking about.
Great series. Well, I really, really loved that series where they had a Friday Night Football. And, you know, it was all about these teenagers in school and, you know, their life and what was going on. But it really made me think of that, you know, this whole class of 73 and, you know, how they got together, and they do impact your life, you know, because you spend a lot of, you know, so many years with these children or these students, these fellow students when you're in school, and they teach you, you know, you learn from your parents, but you also learn from your fellow students, you know, and you go through your ups and downs and loves and romance and their stories and your stories and everything. So, but I love your comment there on the music also. I remember me, it was the 80s. And, you know, I still remember the music I used to listen to in the 80s. You know, I graduated in 86. But, yeah, I still remember the music. And so that's so true. But, yeah, just a great write all the way through. Just I really like this write.
Oh, absolutely. Great comment. And, Jean, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
I wish I had. I felt like I kept repeating myself and fixing it. I don't know. I felt like I made a mess of it, but I'm sorry. I thought these were great thoughts of high school days. Very well penned, and I absolutely loved the swat on the head to the class of 74 at the end. I thought that was great. Because that's exactly what it reminded me of, walking past somebody and just kind of swat them on the head. You know, you basically only hit their hair. Yeah, that was exactly what that felt like to me. I was like, yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, really. So I thought that was good. And I really enjoyed the poem. So thank you so much for writing and sharing with us, Gary Adka. Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
Absolutely. Great comment. All right. And up next, we have Prayers and Ambrosia, Our Childhood Nights and Mornings by Stephen N.Y. And it goes like this. For my sister, forever a sibling's keep, my sister and I were bookended by prayers and ambrosia in between our childhood sleep. Mother's prayers and evenings invocations were sown as she opened prayer books and contemplated rosaries, prayers to patrons, the persistent widow saint, hands on the chapelet, with words that departed lips and devout dulcet tones, while the scapula lay beside the table light, the exterior sign of her interior fidelity to Christ. Our mother with the dimple, relic in hand, angelic, selfless, spoke the mysteries in non-grained words, precision, taught as a child by sisters with black habit, stiff crown band, under veil and white wimple, meditations and appeals for our safety, a husband's secure return home, and a lotto hit of a blessed mother vision, becoming then and always still our seraph. Father and Ambrosia, 4:30 to 5 o'clock morning, a return from the job, a return from the bakery. Father always beat the dawn, stolen light, starry night, with the welcomed racket at the door, a turnkey in the swing of the opening latch, the sound of the stacked brown paper bag he held and its crumbling crack meant he was home, and so began the embrace of bread and its sweet scent, pace towards rooms, a wife and children who knew the crackled sack that brought chirpic warm breath was plenty with rolls, poppy, Kaisers, loaves, French and Italian. A wonder the art graced from the dusted baker's sleight of hand, kneading turns and twirls, slide and stretch of dough, then into an oven sorcery, the slow transfiguration to milky culinary jewels, feast of warm rising yeast, and what I didn't know then was soft residue champagne, timeless, innocent, perfumed, rustic, buttery, sweet pita, not understanding then we were baptized in that scent, the persistent widow saint, Saint Rita of Cassia, end poem. And that was just absolutely beautiful, wonderful imagery throughout. And Jean, your thoughts?
I agree with you, Pam. It was beautifully written. Wonderful use of language in this piece. I like the different sections of it. You know, for my sister, forever a sibling's keep. My sister and I were bookended by prayers and ambrosia in between our childhood sleep. That was a wonderful intro to the poem, a wonderful nod to his sister. That's what I'll say. I kept looking at this and going, okay. Out of all of them, I would go to number three, stanza number three, and Father and Ambrosia, the 4:30, 5 o'clock morning, a return from the job, a return from the bakery. Father always beat the dawn, stolen light from the starry night with the welcomed racket at the door, a turnkey and a swing of the opening latch. And then, I'm not going to read the whole thing because it goes on and on, but from that brown paper bag, you know, that crumbling, cracking sound, and the senses, light up with the smell of bread. And I just thought it was just wonderful, just absolutely wonderful all the way through. And then when it got to not understanding, then we were baptized in the scent. Just beautiful, beautiful work. And that's absolutely for sure. So thank you so much, Stephen New York. He really has such a way of writing. He always has both feet on the ground when he writes something. At least that's always been my experience with him. He just speaks so plainly, but he has such impact with what he writes. It's a wonderful job, Stephen.
You know what? I have to agree with you. I like how you said that. I have to agree with you about that end part, because there is something about bread, that just seems to, connect a family and connect cultures. So really great observations there. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, this is stunning. I mean, the last part, when he gets into the bakery part there, it's just mouthwatering. Oh, my gracious. I'm hungry, the poppy, the Kaisers, the loaves, the rolls, oh, wow, the warm breath, of this, all this, this, you know, just bake bread and just break the, all kinds of pastries and rolls and everything. But, you know, I just loved how it's like there's a calmness, a peacefulness to this poem. Like Phil said, he, you know, like just 2 feet on the ground and just, you know, so beautifully, but so, you know, like simply. He introduces us to his family, you know, first his sister, then his mother, then the father. And, you know, and closes up with just amazing, amazing finish there in the end. But this is just beautifully written all the way through.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I have to agree with you that, you know, just beautiful all the way through and a wonderful tribute to his family. The mention of that his sister and I were bookended makes me wonder if he didn't have more siblings or does have more siblings. You know, only because, and I don't know, he could have meant it a different way, but for me, I always know the bookended children to be the oldest and the youngest. Like there's more, but the oldest and the youngest are called the bookend children. But I love how it pays tribute, as Naomi was saying, to his family, to his sister, and the closeness they had. And then, you know, to his mother and how she was the prayer of the family, the devout one in the family, the example of spirituality. And you know, it comes across as his mother having a quiet strength to her, that and being somebody who is constantly, you know, thinking about the other members of the family, and then the father as the provider, the one who goes to work to provide for his family and also brings home that bread. And oh my goodness, I'm getting hungry just reading that stanza. You know,
get the bread. I got
man. Exactly. But yes, wonderful imagery. And I did like that ending line, not understanding then we were baptized in that scent. Like how much those moments, and to me that really speaks on the idea that not until we look back that we realize how much those moments really meant. So beautiful, right, and very well done. And let's see what we have next. All right. And it is Summer Memories, Walk on a Beach by Robert Polsky. And Naomi, will you please give that a read?
Yes. Summer Memories, Walk on a Beach. The half moon beach, lightning gold, sun haze. Heap of sea flowing from the horizon in the floury sand underfoot, feathery golden yellow, candy floss swept in a sky of beach coats the bottom of the feet. Dribbling waves soak the sand, exhaling the mist, airs drenched with reveries. Memories dance in the wind, passing by, caressing the hair. A moist, salty breeze, the beach air freshener kissing the face, collecting dreams, muscles on the sandy shore, full of sea music, lone winds, areas in the seashell's ears. Listen, end poem.
Wonderful read, Naomi. There's a gentleness and a peacefulness to this poem. And I think your read really caught on to that and matched that very well. This has such beautiful imagery throughout. I particularly am drawn to the way he describes the sand, the flowery sand underfoot, feathery golden yellow candy floss swept in a scythe of beach. And then the feel of the salty breeze, a moist salty breeze, the beach air freshener kissing the face. And you know, the thing is they have things like, they have perfumes and colognes that are supposed to have that fake smell. And I haven't actually been to I've only been near the ocean a couple times in my life. But when I have, you definitely notice a difference between the actual smell of that salty breeze of the beach air and the fake stuff that they put in bottles for you to spray all over yourself. And, you know, I just thought this was just a beautiful rite, wonderful reminiscing of days spent on the beach, and very well done. And, Jean, your thoughts?
You know, I thought this was a wonderful rite by Robert. Great work. And the stanza I liked was, dribbling waves soak the sand, exhaling mist. Airs drenched with reveries, memories dance in the wind. Passing by, caressing the hair. A moist, salty breeze, the beach air freshener, kissing the face. Just lovely thoughts in that, you know, memories dance in the wind, you know, and there's, when you get to the beach, it is a whole different kind of air. It's a funny way to put it, but there's a certain smell in the air, and the memories ride in on that, because when you're there, it brings back those thoughts of when you were there before. It's not like any other place. So I think that was just wonderful and really well done by Robert. So thanks for sharing with us very much. Most definitely.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment. And Naomi, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
This brings back so many memories. You know, I grew up basically right on a beach. And, you know, whether it was when we went back to PEI, you know, my great-grandmother's house was right on the Cape there. The beach was right there. And or whether it was, you know, my childhood growing up in the Gaspé right by the St. Lawrence, you know, so the beach was right there too. And, you know, he brings out, Robert does, you know, so much of that beach, you know, the salty breeze. Oh, my gracious. There's this unique scent of, you know, the moss and the saltiness in the air mixed with that mossy smell that floats in from the beach. And whenever I go down to the Gaspé to visit my folks, you know, when I get to a certain point, I roll down the windows of the car and I just inhale that smell, because, you know, I know when it starts to smell that, when you start to smell that salty beach breeze, you know, when we get to this certain point in the road there going, traveling down. And yeah, that brings back so many memories. And the seashells, listening to seashells when I was young. And, you know, yeah, it is like collecting dreams for sure. And just such a beautiful, there's a certain peacefulness that comes with the beach and with the ocean, with the everything that surrounds it, you know, the whole nature there that's just calming and so peaceful. So stunning imagery throughout that makes our senses just dance in this poem. Beautifully done.
Oh, absolutely. And I the thing is there is something about scent that has such a strong connection to memories. So great comment. All right. And up next we have Total Recall by Dammit Dave. And Jean, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Ruh-roh, it's Dammit Dave. Here we go. I have too much fun with his name. I swear to God I do. Okay, this is called Total Recall. If I'm not me, then who the hell am I? Are all these memories fake inside my head? Perhaps it's true. I really am a spy. And someone out there really wants me dead. Did recall fry my brain? Or is this me? Could I possess a wife so smoking hot? She says things are the way they're supposed to be. My basic instinct tells me that they're not. I feel I'm living in some fantasy. Am I a secret agent or a hack? If recall's program somehow damaged me, then they should understand that I'll be back. If I should find my back against the wall, I vow that I will terminate them all. And
Oh, man. I can tell you had fun with that read there, Dean. That was awesome. And, yes, I have to agree. Damn it, Dave. It just is awesome to have, you know, he does have an awesome all poetry name. It's just fun to play with. So, and
damn
Naomi.
It,
yeah, exactly. And Naomi, your thoughts.
Yeah, you really captured this movie Total Recall with Arnold Schwarzenegger here. And, you know, he put in so many, lines from other movies too there, like the Terminator, I'll be back and I will terminate them all. And, it's just amazing how we, you know, in the begin, if I'm not me, then who the hell am I? Are all these memories fake inside my head? Perhaps it's true. I really am a spy. And someone out there really wants me dead. I really like this all the way through it. So fun and so well written. Bravo, damn it, Dave.
It really is. And you're right. Yeah, he did have a lot of fun playing with the lines from different movies. And I thought that was really cool. So great comment. And Gene, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Thanks. I just thought it was funny. The fact that Dave highlighted on that. When I got to the line where it said, I'll be back, I couldn't help but drop my voice a little bit. I'm like, oh, don't even try and do the impression. But definitely a funny piece. I was like, no, I can't do it. Don't do that. But, it's just too hard not to, really. But I wrote, well, damn it, Dave. Great write. Well, pens on it. And I started out with, if I'm not me, then who the hell am I? Are all these memories fake inside my head? Perhaps it's true. I really am a spy. And someone out there really wants me dead. There was just a fun intro to the whole piece. And clever piece all the way through. I think you pulled it all. You pulled it off well.
He really did. Absolutely. Great comment. You know, and yeah, this was fun all the way through. He had great wordplay and lines. I even like where he says my basic instinct, because it makes you think of the movie A Basic Instinct, even though I'm pretty sure that, Arnold Schwarzenegger wasn't in that one, though I could be wrong, but that ending was absolutely the best, you know, with the I'll be back and I vow that I will terminate them. You know, this has great rhyme and flow. It's definitely a fun write. And a great tribute to the movie, which now I want to watch that. It's actually been a very long time since I've seen that movie. I think when it first came out on VHS was when I saw it. So last, you know, excellent write. Oh, man. And I can definitely see how it would be tempting to go into the Arnold Schwarzenegger voice with that end line. Okay, I see. Okay, that explains it. It has been a long time since I've seen the movie Total Recall, because Dave says in LNP, Sharon Stone played the wife in Total Recall. And I actually did remember that she was the lead character in Basic Instinct, but I didn't think to connect that to to Total Recall. So very cool. Very cool. Smart thinking there, Dave. All right. And let's see what we have next. We have Pluto Yoke by Team Michelle, and it goes like this. I'll write as asked of ice indentations, hearts impressed on stained snowflakes, and then carry off a banner to commemorate you. We heard it from you first, how to be so in love with riptides, to tangle with tragedy on a frameless bed, begging to be devoured, to hold the fine dust chin up and to let the film coat our round shoulders. Life is the juice from freshly squeezed ache, yet by a minuscule margin we always miss the mark of when to have our fill. We spoke to you with the baritone of living water, even if we are anecdote raised warlocks from ruddy brown fields. But you say we deserve to be skinned, for it is a rite of passage to claw at the macabre throat of what we don't know. In your lens, the sky's skin is gray, oh so vividly gray that it flies off our soft-boiled vine and cuts off our creepers. Even if along that slender conduit is beginner's luck, 'tis a realm unkind with canines polished like gleaming blades. Inside it, the image of us crawling is so well defined between picture-perfect abstraction and utter despair. Still at some minutes past the future, we'll write another chapter of downsized redemption, where everything's replaced and where we fixed an archway to the grave of a desperate yet flippant past as a sepulcher for our release. It is for the loud echoes of these empty elegies that we ruin our soul in the cruelest of ways, that we grow thistles in an alley of bones. What could we have done better than this? Nothing. Not a single thing. End poem. And absolutely a gorgeous write with a powerful imagery and metaphors. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. This is, a very powerful write. Very thought-provoking. You know, I just love the lines. Life is the juice from freshly squeaked ache. By a minuscule margin, we always miss the mark of when we have our feel. That makes me think of, we do walk this thin margin, and often, well, many times, we feel that we do miss the mark, that we're not completely satisfied over this, over that, then to join it in, it is for the loud echoes of these empty elegies that we ruin our souls in the cruelest of ways, that we grow thistles in an alley of bones. But what could we have done better than this? Nothing, not a single thing. Just amazing. Deep, powerful, and very cleverly written poem all the way through. My gracious, this is just amazing.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Great comment there. And I really like how you speak on the part about like being on the edge, almost as, if life is that kind of learning process. And we don't always get it right. But, I think, and when you were saying that, I was thinking that idea that, we oftentimes learn the best from those things that we get wrong, those mistakes that we make. So excellent, excellent comment there. And Jean, your thoughts?
Let me unmute. I thought that this is wonderful work by Team Michelle. It was so wonderfully worded. It had great conveyance of thought and emotions throughout. It was very well done. I started to pick up here still at some minutes past the future, we'll write another chapter of Downsized Redemption, where everything's replaced and where we fix an archway to the grave of the desperate yet flippant past as a sepulcher of our release. Just wonderful, wonderful stanzas throughout, and just nicely written. And great job, T. Michelle. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Great comment. And, yeah, I thought this was beautiful. I felt like it was in part, and I could be wrong, as I was reading this, it made me think of paying tribute to somebody who was somebody that was a mentor or someone, like a parent or a mentor or somebody that you learned from. And I did feel like this had that feeling of learning from life's mistakes. Of knowing that life is full of those ups and downs. I really liked that ending. What could we have done better than this? Nothing, not a single thing. You know, wonderful end line, beautiful imagery. I really like, even if along that slender conduit is beginner's luck to the realm unkind with canines polished like gleaming blades, inside the image of us crawling is so well defined between picture perfect extraction and utter despair. You know, that trying to understand life and oftentimes only getting through it because of that beginner's luck. So, excellent write and very well done. And let's see what we have next. Do-do-do. All right, we have My Town by Stan Holliday. And Naomi, will you please give that a read for us? Are you on mute, Naomi?
Yes, I am. Sorry. Okay, starting over again. My Town. Sitting outside the hardware store with a couple friends with countless other days before as autumn and the midday ends. Look, there goes old Siegel in his beat-up Chevy truck. I see he's got his gun and beagle. I wonder if he had some luck. And here comes Kenneth pulling in. A set of antlers showing in the bed. He's got his yearly buck again. Wish I'd gotten mine instead. But we get up and gather round, prepared to listen to a story and where the venison was found and giving him his well-earned glory. Then across the street walks Mary, and all heads turn her way a while. And although she doesn't tarry, she gifts us with a pretty smile. Then she's gone, and we sit down and wait to see what's next to see. Here in this little crossroads town, that is the way it used to be. End poem.
Great read there, Naomi. And definitely for me, a very relatable write, have being someone who grew up and still lives in a small town. I really enjoyed this. Great rhyme and flow. Wonderful look at what it's like part of what it's like to grow up in a small town. I definitely related to the competitiveness that people get when it comes to deer hunting season. And here comes Kenneth pulling in a set of antlers showing in the bed. He's got his yearly buck again. Wish I'd gotten mine instead. And then the following stanza, but we get up and gather around prepared to listen to his story of where the venison was found and giving him his well-earned glory. Wonderful line, definitely brought a smile to my face and very well done. And Jean, your thoughts. Are you on mute, Jean? Or did she step away? Oh, she, okay, I see. All right, she did have to step away. Okay, well then, Naomi, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, this is, an awesome write, reminiscing that small town life, sitting there with a couple of buddies and just looking, I guess it's hunting season, and just watching, the town folks come and go, and that Mary who makes me think of the movie, Elle a un petit je ne sais quoi, little something, this little something about Mary. Yeah, that's it.
Yep.
And in French we say un petit je ne sais quoi. But it makes me think of that, when he talks about Mary there, all heads turn her way a while. just an awesome, awesome poem, a beautiful flow, beautiful rhyme throughout, and a poem that takes us right back to the, like you're saying, Pam, to those small towns, and that small town life, just sitting around and having a beer outside of a hardware store and watching life pass by and watching people pass by.
Yep.
So awesomely well written.
Yeah, exactly. And great comment there. I really like that you mentioned that stanza about Mary, because, I thought that was a fun stanza. It does have that whole, small town feel, hanging around with friends, having a beer type feel to it. So excellent write. And let's see, I don't think Jean is back yet. And so... Are you back, Jean?
I am. I just got here a little bit ago. I did glance over the poem, and I have to say it was a great nod to a small town. I said, it sounds like the stuff of great movie sequences, because you can see guys kick back and, just the good old boy movies. So I thought it was nicely done. Great job, Stan. Thank you for sharing. Pam,
oh,
venison.
Yeah, I have to agree. Great comment there. And up next, we have Dick Clark's American Bandstand by Liquid Mind Forever. And before I read this, I'm going to take a quick drink of water, which I should have done sooner, but oh well. Sorry about that. All right. So... This is Dick Clark's American Bandstand by Liquid Mind Forever. 3:30 after school, Central Standard Time. Around the country every day, millions of teenagers rush home to swoon as they watched Arlene Sullivan, Kenny Rosie, Justine Corelli, Franny, the hit parade of American pop idols and the rock and roll stars on Dick Clark's American Bandstand. In 1958, visiting my father in Philadelphia, my dream of being on Dick's bandstand came true. Standing in a line 4 deep, expanding 2 blocks, I stood, heart pounding, crinoline bouncing, as I bopped and shimmied to draw attention to myself. I would have killed to get on that show. A doorkeeper in his early 20s walked back and forth pacing, scoping out the kids in line. Walking by me, he turned to see who was this lime green summer cotton dress flouncing and bopping, copper sunlit curly hair pulled back in a ponytail, my black and white Oxford and Bobby socks neatly arranged. "Would you like to be on the show?" he asked, flashing him my prettiest white teeth smile, batting my baby blue eyes. I said, "I would kill to be on the show." He looked at me with his black almond-shaped eyes, tight black pleated pants, black Italian penny loafers, and nodded. I thought my heart would jump out of my chest. I was going to be on Dick Clark's American Bandstand, and all my school friends would die of envy. I would be the talk of U City High School. I followed him as he moved swiftly to the entrance door, everyone's eyes following me. I didn't turn, but I could feel the burn. I kept my eyes focused on the door, beyond, inside, past the door, feeling the rush of cool air as I stepped inside. Woo! Here you go, young lady. Have yourself a blast, he said, smiling. He turned and left me in Wonderland. Oh, my God, this was surreal. Bright lights everywhere, above on the ceiling, floor lights and benches like bleacher seats, Dick's podium, the large blue curtains drawn from behind which John Travolta, Jimmy Dean, Frankie Avalon, Paul Anka, Annette would perform for us and millions of teens. The cameras were swiveling, following the kids dancing from one to another. I saw the famous record review booth, Dick's microphone, the kids dancing. It was pure electric fever to die for. Oh, my God, Arlene Sullivan and Kenny. I couldn't believe it. I must have died and come to heaven via South Philly. Ah, there's Franny, the gorgeous blonde with long Shirley Temple ringlets and a to-die-for body in a tight skirt and pink knit cotton sweater displaying her bouncing boobies. Too much, just absolutely too much. I loved to dance. I knew how to, too. I'd been practicing every day, watching, repeating the steps I'd learned from the shows, standing in front of the mirror, going to Friday night wigwam. I was ready. I braced myself, took a deep breath of air, and walked up to Arlene Sullivan. Hi, Arlene. I would love to dance with you. In those days, even on television, you could dance with a girl if you were a girl. I mean, so I asked her, and guess what? She said, okay. She looked just like she did on Bandstand, long, wavy black hair, about 5'4", moderate build, square jaws, big brown eyes, and one to die for smile. She led me through the dance. It was Tennessee Ernie Ford's 16 tons, I think, or maybe Finger Poppin' Time. It was to die for. I couldn't stop grinning and twirling and bouncing inside with glee. Then another regular Barbie came up and asked if I'd like to dance. My hesitation was just long enough to take a breath and to say, yeah. She twirled me and spun me around right in front of the camera. Do you believe my full face? And you know what? Everyone back home saw me. Do you believe it? And the real kicker? Dick Clark himself invited me to be on Record Review. Of course, I said yes. Three of us listened to two new songs by recording artists and rated each song on a scale from 1 to 100. I took my job very seriously. My reward? Dick presented me with a silver Bandstand charm bracelet and a 45 record for being a guest reviewer. To this day, I love doo-wop. I still bebop. And when I come onto the dance floor, when Tina Turner's Proud Mary's playing, they clear the floor to make way for me and to watch me electrify the room. I will always remember being in the spotlight, dancing with Arlene and Barbie, being on a record review, hanging on in 1958 with my teenage idols from American Bandstand. Those were truly the good old days of rock and roll and poem. And what a wonderful story, right? Which I'm guessing is in a true story. Very cool, wonderful attention to detail. And Jean, your thoughts?
I have to say, I thought this was a great write by Liquid Mind Forever. I think it was really well done. You know, I assume it's a true story. I'm sure it says it somewhere. I just didn't read that yet. But very well written, articulate, you know, like, she didn't miss any details. And what an experience it must have been, I would say. Lots of fun, lots of, I don't know, it must have been a wonderful thing to be able to experience at that time. Because, you know, we all know, well, I remember seeing some bandstand when I was a kid. I don't know about you, Pam. You might be a little too young for that. But it was, and I don't know about you, Naomi, but, you know, you get to see someone, I'd be like, oh, wow, yeah, yeah, yeah. They were all having a wonderful time. So I thought it was great and really well written, Deborah. And thanks for sharing with us. Like, great memories.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you're right. You know, I am a little too young to remember the show, other than, I mean, I know the show, and I recognize, of course, a lot of the names she mentions, you know, like, you know, Arlene Sullivan, and, of course, John Travolta, and Jimmy Dean, Frankie Avalon. I recognize a lot of those. But, yeah, like you said, you just really didn't miss any detail. And you're right, this had to have been quite the experience. So excellent comment. And, Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I don't know the show, but, you know, I think I heard of it. But, you know, I'm from Quebec, of course. Not a lot of English, not a lot of American TV away back then. But I read that it was on for 24 years. Wow. Once a week for 24 years. My gracious. So, but sadly, I never saw it. But my gracious, I would have peed in my pants. But I've been so excited to go on a show like this. Oh, my gracious. But, you know, she has wonderful imagery throughout this, and you can really hear the excitement, although it's happened, in her teenage years. But you can still feel the excitement come through as she's writing about it today. So amazing, amazing write here by Liquid Mind Forever.
Oh, definitely. I have to agree with you. And you're right. You can pick up definitely on the excitement of this, you know, with her word choicing, especially with, you know, where she says to die for, oh, my God, and the excited scream that she puts in. You know, I really like the line, I braced myself, took a deep breath of air and walked to Arlene Sullivan. Hi, Arlene, I would love to dance with you. She really brings us into that moment with her. So excellent write and very well done. All right. And up next, we have A Token of Romance by Asama Chiba. And Jean, will you give that a read for us, please?
Asama Chiba, yes. I love Asama. Okay, A Token of Romance by Asama Chiba. As years go by, holding memories of precious moments we shared together, timeless treasures, stirring passions that lingers beyond the reach of time, running in streams of thoughts most sublime, with every passing breeze and each pulse of heartbeats, feelings that will never die, but blooms again like a sweet flower of love that sprouts from the garden of the soul, a token of romance. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Jean. And, you know, Asama absolutely is a wonderful poet and a beautiful soul. I really enjoy and appreciate this poem. There does seem to be something about the topic of reminiscence that brings out thoughts of romance. You know, this beautiful imagery throughout, a real emotional impact. I really especially liked Timeless Treasure, Stirring Passions That Linger Beyond the Reach of Time, running in streams of thoughts most sublime with every passing breeze and each pulse of heartbeat. But honestly, this would be one of those poems that I'd be happy to quote every single line. So excellent writing. Absolutely. Very well done. And Jean, you did a beautiful read of that. Your thoughts?
You know, I thought it was a beautifully penned piece by Osama, as always. You know, it was wonderful imagery, and it was so soft, and so it had almost a delicate quality to it. And I think that's because these were true feelings from her heart. I believe that. I think that there was something that, how do I want to say it? You know, we all draw from our well, and I think that this came directly from her well. You know, the emotions and the thoughts and the feelings inside of her, I think, show through in this piece. So I really like the way she did it. So wonderful job, Osama, and thank you so much for sharing with us. It was a pleasure to read this.
Absolutely, and I have to agree with you. I think she did really dig deep from her own well to share this with us. Very cool.
Yeah, there's
comment.
Nothing superficial.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Yep. And Naomi, are you back with us? And did you get a chance to read the poem?
Yeah. You know, I thought that the picture was so elegant, as the rite was elegant too. You know, exquisitely elegant. And like Phil said, you know, it just has this delicateness to it. This tender delicateness. You know, I just love that last stanza, as this spring is upon us again, you know, just pouncing on us, feelings that will never die, but blooms again like a sweet flower of love that sprouts from the garden of the soul, a token of romance. Just a beautiful, beautiful rite to that picture. And, you know, even without the picture, my gracious, you know, this is so, such an exquisite, beautifully written rite. So, well done. Who is this? This is?
Osama.
Oh, yeah, Osama Shiba. Yeah, what a wonderful writer. And so well done.
Absolutely. Great comment, Naomi. All right. And up next, we have Stranded by Musing Pilgrim. And Naomi, will you give that a read for us, please?
Okay. Stranded. I reached into lost hours as I pinned down shadows of expired old letters. Some trumpet blew you away long before your footprints followed, leaving only questions that tie me to the spot where you bowed out before the curtain call, and am left waiting for roses to fall. End poem.
Great read, Naomi, and a beautiful emotive write by Musing Pilgrim. And Jean, your thoughts? Are you on mute, Jean, or do you have to step away again? Let's check.
No, I was on mute. But to be on the safe side, don't take me off mute if you see me, just in case. I might be yelling. But, no, this was a wonderful brevity. Nobody understands that, Pam, but you do. A wonderful, wonderful brevity here, and I think it was beautifully written and beautifully expressed. With
it really is.
Some trumpet blues. Absolutely. You know, in order for me to really say, hey, I like this, I would have to do every stanza, because each stanza feeds the next one, and it all flows together. But I'll try it here. Some trumpet blew you away long before your footprints followed. I thought that was a wonderful way to put that. Leaving only questions that tie me to the spot where you bowed out before the curtain call. I don't even need to read PS there. That was I found that to be really intriguing and well done. You know, and then just the prompt for this was, how could you walk away? And I think that was really well addressed in the write itself. So nicely done, and thank you so much, Musing Pilgrim.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. And you're right. She does. They do a wonderful job of having one stanza just seamlessly flow into the next. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. You know, this is amazing, you know, extended metaphor used, you know, somebody just there on left on stage all alone, you know, before the curtain call. And, you know, just left there waiting for roses to fall, left there, you know, without that love, they turn, just left there stranded. Amazing, amazing, cleverly written, brevity throughout. Just awesome, awesomely well penned here, piece.
It really is. It really is. And, yeah, you're right, a wonderful extended metaphor. And great comment. Yeah, this is beautiful. It's emotive. I really like, as I pin down shadows of expired old letters, the idea of saving those old letters and, you know, going through them and going through the memories that they bring back. So beautiful, heartfelt write, and very well done. And see what we have next. All right. Up next, we have to... The Rocking Chair by Julie Buck. And it goes like this. The rocking chair with arms that holds me rocks out memories that tend to mold me. Rocking chair of old pine wood, what would you say if you could, if you could? You held your baby in this chair, precious bonding moments, so dear, so clear, remember? I do, my baby would coo, and I'd scoop the sweetness into my arms, smell the scent of innocence, of a small, fully dependent new life, wonderfully unaware of the earthly horrors waiting, just waiting. Rocking chair, we squeak together. Tell me stories, if you would, if you would. Your mother, too, held you here. She rocked you also with the same fear of never wanting you to hurt. How tight she'd hold you, that tenderly she'd hum and hold, and even shed a tear or two of maternal dread. The rocking chair with arms that hold me, memories most warm, have always consoled me. End poem. Now that one was a beautiful write. Absolutely a wonderful look at the connection between family through this rocking chair. And I will, of course, comment further, but first of all, let's start with your thoughts, Naomi.
Yeah, there is just something about, you know, the old rocking chairs. You know, when my, you know, we have the old rocking chair at my mom's place, and, you know, we had one at my great-grandmother's house, and, of course, they'd become my horses when I was young. I'd daydream that I was on a horse, a great big horse, and, you know, they'd become my playmate, but there's just something about the rocking chair and all the tender moments, you know, between a mother and or a grandmother or, you know, a grandfather, father with his child or with his grandchildren. You know, all those memories, you know, what if a rocking chair could talk, you know, all the things that it would tell you. You know, I just love this. The rocking chair with arms that hold me, memories most warm have always consoled me. And it's so true, you know, the just something about rocking to and forth. And, you know, I don't know about you guys, but
me, I still remember the songs, like my grandmother and my great-grandmother and my mother would sing to me, you know, those childhood, those lullabies when I rock in a rocking chair. So just a beautiful, beautiful write here, a heartfelt write by Julie Bach, so beautifully written.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I love how you mentioned that if a rocking chair could tell stories, can you imagine the stories it would tell? And I had to smile because I would do the same thing with pretending the rocking chair was like a horse and you're running off on an adventure or something like that. And so really cool comment there, Naomi. And Jean, your thoughts.
Well, you know, I got to say this, okay? I was getting ready to write my comment on this, and I get down to the bottom, you know, and I happened to see the first comment on the list. And I read the comment, and I thought it was a nice comment. It's really an emotional piece about a mother and child connection, a fine poem. Yeah. And I look, and Julie Buck says, thanks, Chuck. I hate it. LOL. She's so darn funny. You know? Like, God forbid we show our heart to anyone or put our heart on our sleeve. But it really was a lovely piece. So, I really liked it a lot. I started here. She cracks me up. Rocking chair of old pine wood. What would you say if you could? If you could. You held your baby in this chair, precious bonding moment, so dear, so clear, remember? I do, my baby would coo, and I'd scoop the sweetness into my arms, smell the scent of innocence, of a small, fully dependent new life, wonderfully unaware of the earthly horrors, waiting, just waiting. You know, I mean, as we all grow older, you know, we find that, you know, it's not always the funnest, place to be sometimes, because you know that childhood innocence wears off and we all get slapped a little bit into reality. You know,
sometimes. Really true.
But I think that I just thought it was lovely the way that she put that together, and I couldn't help but laugh at what she said, the lovely piece. And I thought it was just she's a piece of work. God love her. I like that. Thanks,
yeah, me
Julie.
Too. And you know, I totally get and understand how difficult it can be to wear your emotions on your sleeve. But this is a wonderful writing conversation between a woman in a rocking chair. And as I was saying, that thought of, you know, how one generation connects to the next. And I really like that part that you pointed out with the I do, my baby would coo, and I'd scoop the sweetness into my arms, smell the scent. You know, it takes us back to those times of just holding our babies, you know, when they were just actually physically babies, and they were so sweet and so innocent. And it really, and then the other part where it mentions your mother, too, held you here. She rocked you also with the same fear. You know, because we do have, because we know what the world is like, we do have that fear of what life will turn out like for our kids and what we will need to protect them from. So, excellent, right, and very well done.
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah, even if Julie herself does hate it, we like it, so.
It's funny because here at our house, you know, well, not my house personally now, my mother rocked me in a rocking chair that she had bought when I was born. And then my sister had babies, so I loaned it to her for her babies. And then it's in line to go to my daughter when she has her babies. So I think that's it's kind of neat. You know, so the rocking chair poem, actually, it tickles me because you know, they are wonderful moments when we sit there and we rock our children or, you know, our babies. And there is nothing like that smell of a newborn baby. I don't care what anybody says. Even though it could be tinky sometimes, it doesn't matter. They are still wonderful. Babies are wonderful. I love them.
They really are.
I really do.
They really are. Mm-hmm. I have to agree. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to be quiet.
But there's just so much nice stuff to say. All right. Well, up next we have Reminiscing by Way Down Upon Joy. And let me check here. So I read last, then there was Naomi, and now we're back to Jean. So, Jean, if you don't mind, go ahead and give that a read for us.
I don't know if I believe your record keeping, but it's okay. I don't mind it at all. Reminiscing, Way Down Upon Joy. Oft times I find the ties that bind are loosely woven threads. A passing glance, shared thoughts that dance with old thoughts in my head. A paradise or poet's prize is oft times overlooked, and yet when seen with eyes that dream, reads better than a book. God bless the man who takes his hand to write what he holds dear. A peaceful mind is hard to find. Oft times it stands quite near. When heart and soul has paid its toll, resolved to find rebirth, the words they share because they care, a pilgrimage of worth. We oft times know what legends show, though mystic they may be. It is a fact that what we lack are eyes in which to see. Until I found a common ground by reaching for the sky, a fragrance sweet by one who speaks and does not question why. Oft times I find the ties that bind are loosely woven threads. A passing glance, shared thoughts that dance with old thoughts in my head. End the poem.
Great reading. Oh my gosh, mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, it's absolutely stunning rhyme and beautiful imagery. Just a really thoughtful write. And mm-hmm. Naomi, your thoughts.
Oh yeah, just amazing. You know, it just flows so impeccably well. And that was such a great read, Phil, by the way. And, you know, I just love, you know, the end of this. The oft times I find that the ties that bind are loosely woven threads, a passing glance, shared thoughts that dance with old thoughts in my head. You know, I think that really brings it all together in the end there. But, you know, wow, you know, what a beautiful write this is.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I have to agree. It is a beautiful write. You know, and I like how this is about, to me anyways, that idea of, you know, how poets capture memories, you know, and I really like the use of the stanza, when heart and soul has paid its toll, resolve to find rebirth, the words they share because they care, a pilgrimage of worth. You know, the way we travel through our own poetry, but also the way we travel through other people's poetry and learn from it and grow from it. Beautiful lines and very well done. And Jean, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Thanks, hon. You know, it was wonderful rhyme and meter throughout this whole piece. I love the thoughts and the way they were shared. I love the I think it's first and the last stanza. You know, oft times I find the ties that bind are loosely woven threads. A passing glance, shared thoughts that dance with old thoughts in my head. I love that. I thought that was just so clever, just really clever. And the last line is not, it is the same. I don't know. I thought maybe she changed a word or two. I had to go back down and look. But I love that. And I love how she began and ended with that, because everything in the middle just kind of pulls it together. It weaves those two stanzas, the first and last, together in the center. You know, I love this. A paradise or poet's prize is oft times overlooked, and yet when seen with eyes that dream, reads better than a book. Just wonderful, wonderful stanzas in this all the way through. I think that Joy actually did a fabulous job with this. I know her name's not Joy. What is Joy? Yes. Okay, sorry. I thought I screwed up. But just a wonderful, wonderful write. Thank you. Really, you know, it's hard to know some days. But I think it was just beautifully done. So great job, and thank you for sharing, Joy. Hope to read you again soon.
Absolutely, absolutely. Great comment. And up next, we have Hippocampus Blues by Self Rise and Mojo. And Naomi, will you give that a read for us, please?
Of course. Winters in Florida, when I was younger than 10, never cold enough for ice. But I remember freezing in bed, the sound of my father's voice when he drank too much. My German Shepherd seemed to sense that I shook, the way she held herself against me like an extra blanket. I still believe dogs are gods, dressed backwards to sneak in miracles, like the clockwork of Weimaraner from 50 years later, the way she wakes at 4:30 on a morning of late December, as though reading directions to where I've gone in my mind, how she leads outside on the mountain of a clearly defined season and a moon so bright, the shadow of a branch in the wind is a hand as old as my mother would be sowing a light like snow into the sleeping grass. End poem.
Wonderful read, Naomi, and such a beautiful write by Self Rising Mojo. I always like his straightforward language, but you know how he makes such an impact. And there's a sadness to this poem, but it's also a celebration of how much dogs can mean to us. You know, I really my German Shepherd seemed to sense that I shook the way she held herself against me like an extra blanket. I still believe dogs are gods, dressed backwards to sneak in miracles. You know, such just beautiful, touching lines. You know, and so sad that any child has to go through abuse, but, you know, to have someone, you know, to have a dog that is there, you know, and to understand a dog's love, I think is a beautiful thing. So excellent write and very well done. And Jean, your thoughts?
You know, I thought it was a wonderfully written poem. I love the reference to the German Shepherd, you know, the way she held herself against me like an extra blanket, you know, she felt him shaking. And then he goes on about his wine mariner, you know, some 50 years later, you know, because those memories don't necessarily go away, you know. Sometimes they fade off a little bit, but they do return, sadly. So every now and then, you know, that you know, you need to face it and get past it one more time. It doesn't make it right. It just makes it real. Down here, I also like the shadow of a branch in the wind is a hand as old as my mother would be sowing the light like snow into the sleeping grass. That's, you know, an intriguing set of thoughts right there, you know. The branch in the wind, you know, the hand that would be sowing the light like snow into the sleeping grass. I think it was very nicely done. Just clever imagery and just very well written. So thank you, Self Rising Mojo. Great to see your work tonight.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, you know, this is, you know, so, so heartfelt and so heart-wrenching, really, you know, the thinking of the little boy and being so scared, he's shaking and his German Shepherd beside him. You know, it's so sad, but yet so tenderly, beautifully written, the whole piece, a very, very emotive piece, a very touching piece. So bravo.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. I have to agree. Definitely a touching and emotive piece. So great comment. All right. And up next, we have My Favorite Memory by Teresa Streschkoff. And it goes like this. I remember when I was just a little one, my brothers, sisters, and I would go into the woods that were right behind my house. Sometimes we would play hide and seek, but my favorite part of all was building a fort. We always had so much fun just walking through the woods, collecting all the wood and sticks we would find along the way. I must say, this is one of my favorite memories from when I was just a little one. End poem. This is such a wonderful brevity, and I really like that she shared this personal memory with us. Very cool. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. This is just beautiful. I'm sorry. Can you get Phil to comment? I'm coughing here.
Yeah, no problem. And Jean, your thoughts?
You know, I have to tell you, I was so glad you went to Naomi first because I was still writing a poem on the last one, or poem, a comment on the last poem. So let me give it a quick read. Pam, maybe you could go first.
I will. Yes, you know what? I will. Yes, I will do that. You know what? I get this. I really relate to this one. You know, building forts is something I used to enjoy doing as a kid. You know, when I grew up in the middle of the woods, you know, going for walks in the woods, playing in the stream or swimming in the lake were like all favorite memories. Another thing we used to enjoy doing was flashlight tag. We play hide, a version of like hide and seek and tag in the middle of the night when it's all dark out and everybody has flashlights. You know, it just, I love there's such a, this definitely has a very reminiscing, very nostalgic, and such a sweetness to it with lines like, we always had so much fun just walking through the woods, you know, just delightful. That's what I would say about this, right? It is delightful and very well done.
Keep talking.
Jean.
Keep talking.
Well, I have to say, if I was going to say one of my favorite memories would definitely be catching frogs. I loved walking along the edge of the lake and catching frogs. And so what I really like about Teresa's poem is that she brought back for me my own favorite memories, you know, and I think that when a poem can take you along on its journey and give you the opportunity to relate to it, I think that is definitely a beautiful thing. So excellent write and very well done. And I swear to goodness, one of the two, you better be ready to comment or I'm knocking your head together.
I loved it. I loved this piece. I really did. When I just read it, you know, I love that sometimes we play hide and seek, but my favorite part was building a fort. We always had so much fun just walking through the woods, collecting all the wood and sticks. You know, I must say that was one of her favorite memories from childhood. And I think that I have to agree with that. I mean, you know, you go and you build this secret little kind of place to hang out and hide. And, you know, I could see why that would be a wonderful, wonderful thing. I always had a half-acre backyard with no trees, so we didn't have that much fun. But it sounds like a wonderful, wonderful time, and I love that reminiscing thing there. Absolutely. Naomi, it's on you. Don't
help him. Well, you know, this brought me back memory. I grew up with two boys. Well, I don't have any sisters, so I only have brothers. So I have two brothers, and of course, you know, what do you do with brothers? You know, you build forts, and you do play with wood and sticks, and well, us it was more the beach, but you know, the seashells and everything that you can find on the beach. But I remember in the back of our house, we had this one pole, you know, that would, what was our, the clothesline pole. And it was this big, sturdy pole. And my brother, my oldest brother, he was really, really great. I think he was about, would have been, what, 10 years old. And he managed to build a three-story fort around that one pole up in the air. So that, you know, crossing the planks of wood around that one pole so that he built it up. Well, we helped, you know, as well as we could, me and my youngest brother, Patrick. But my brother, Elwin, he was the amazing, the most clever, you know, very intelligent for his age. And, you know, and he was the architect of that fort. And I remember we built that fort, and we were the only English kids, of course, in the town. And, you know, we'd have these rotten tomatoes and potato fights with the French kids from our fort. And apples, of course. But, yeah, amazing memories. So amazing, right, that brought back memories for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment. And what a wonderful show tonight. Great poetry, great company. Thank you to both of you. I always appreciate having you as my twisted sisters. Thank you to Dave for hanging on the board. And thank you to everyone who wrote for the show, was listening while we were on live, or will be listening later. We truly appreciate you all. Make sure to join me and Naomi 10 p.m. Eastern U.S. time on Wednesday tonight for Art of Seduction. And then join me, Jeremy F. and me at 12:30 a.m. Eastern U.S. time for Headliners Ball while we headline the poetry of Samuel Black and Lauren Yvonne. And, of course, make sure to check out all the poetry and poetry contests and topic boards put up by our late night poets, hosts and hostesses, because you're sure to find something to inspire. And anything you'd like to add, Jean?
I do want to remind everybody there is no keeping it brief tomorrow morning, or tomorrow afternoon, I should say.
No.
We're holding off on that until, what, the week after next, Naomi?
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. If everything works out. Yeah.
Right.
We'll let you know.
Absolutely.
We'll let everybody.
And yeah, it was a great show, Pam. Great choice of prompts. Worked out really well.
Awesome.
And I have to say, I really enjoyed it. And
awesome.
Yeah. Way a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
So hopefully everybody will have a wonderful, wonderful week and a happy new year. Will shine upon us all, and we'll be healthy, happy, and prosperous, because that's what it's, and that's just the order we all want it in, too. So, just saying. Thanks, everybody. Thank you guys for always being my twisted sisters. And, everybody's got to be something. Okay, well, look, I'm going to shut up now so Pam's going to hang up on us. No, I'm only kidding. Only kidding, Pam. But great show.
Awesome poetry. Good night, girls.
Good night, Jack.
Good night.
Take care.